this song that was given to us, oh no, a couple years ago. This man down in North Carolina wrote it, and it's always been a blessing to me, and I'm thankful they gave us the words so we could sing it here.
They went down to watch the oldest grandchild get baptized down Taze Valley.
Yeah.
Senior dinner will not be this Tuesday, probably next Tuesday. You've been reading your Bible every day, praying every day. Welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church. If you read your Bible through this year, you can come to the Bible Readers Banquet free of charge. Brother Butch, would you pray for us, please? Prayer, nothing like that prayer. Brother Gene had a prayer request in the prayer room. He said the prayer worked last time. We'll pray again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay, we've been trying to introduce the book of Genesis, and we've been trying to introduce the Bible, trying to get started in both of them. Last week, we gave you an outline for the whole Bible, 10 stages. And on your handouts, you have an outline for chapter 1. and an outline for the book of Genesis. That's a lot of outlines. Outlines are man-made. If you don't like it, you just change it. It's just something to help you learn, something to help you remember. It's not Bible. It's made by man. It's not perfect. Here's another little outline for the book of Genesis. In chapters 1 and 2, you have the generations. We looked at that last week a little bit. In chapters 3 through 11, we have degeneration. We'll see that as we come through there. And then in chapters 12 through 50 is regeneration.
Yeah.
Regeneration. We'll get that picture in there. Now, down through here in chapter 1, God creates. Now, man makes, but God creates. I get ready to make something, I'll get a bunch of 2x4s. Maybe you might start with a blueprint, but I gather up materials. Not God, He just speaks it into existence. He doesn't need to do that. He just speaks it. He creates things out of nothing.
Right.
Out of nothing. He starts with nothing. To create, God only had to speak. To redeem, He had to suffer. He had to suffer. Down through here in chapter 1, starting in verse 3, it says, "And God said." Verse 6, "And God said." Verse 9, "And God said." Verse 11, "And God said." Verse 14, "And God said." Verse 20, "And God said." Verse 24, "And God said." Verse 26, "And God said." Verse 28, "And God blessed them, and God said." Verse 29, "And God said." This is God's Word. Did I remind you? This is God's Word we're studying. It's not man's Word. It's God's Word. God said it. God created it. God did it. God breathed. Then He created in verse 1. In the beginning, God created. Verse 7, "And God made." Now again, He made it different than I would. He just spoke it. Verse 16, "And God made." He made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Verse 21, "And God created." Verse 25, "And God made." Verse 27, "And God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them." He created. And He did it in one day. The things He said in one day. On verse 4, "And God saw the light that it was good." He made light in verse 3. But He didn't make the sun until verse 14. The light, that's day 4. The light down to there is just God. That's just God. God is light. We'll read about it here in a minute. But then down in verse 14, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so," just like God said. "And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day." Well, in the fourth book of the New Testament, the S-O-N shines out. God shows the deity of the Son. Let's go over there and look. We see the light of God there in John 1. About verse 4. "In Him." That's the Son, the Word, capital W, Word. That God, the Son. "In Him was life, eternal life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." That was me for 21 years. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the capital L life, the big L life, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The light. And then there's a group called, I call them theistic evolutionists. I don't know if they named themselves or if we named them. And they try to hold on to God with one hand and evolution with the other hand, and you can't do it. They try to reconcile the two, and you can't do it. They're the opposites, and they're diametrically opposed. And one thing they say to try to do that, they said, well, those days, those 7 days of creation, they may have been 24,000 years each. They may have been 24 million years. Each day might have been 24 billion years. No, Caleb, no, no. God makes it clear, look in verse 5, and the evening and the morning were the first day. God couldn't have made it any simpler. He couldn't have made it any clearer. He couldn't have said it any other way and made it any plainer. It's a 24-hour day. Verse 8, at the end, the evening and the morning were the second day. Verse 13, the evening and the morning were the third day. We might make verse 13 a memory verse. That'd be a good one, wouldn't it? And the evening and the morning were the third day. It wasn't 24,000 years. It wasn't 24 million years. It wasn't 24 billion years. It was 24 hours. It was the evening. Evening and the morning is one day. Verse 19, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Verse 23, and the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Verse 31, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Man tries to change it. Theistic evolutionists try to change it because it takes long periods of time for impossible probabilities. Now, I'm going to make you aware of something here. I don't believe this, but I'm going to tell you about it so you'll know about it. Now, between verse 1 and verse 2, some say there was a gap. Some believe, these theistic evolutionists, they believe, in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. Then there was a great big gap. They try to justify it that way. And that gap was millions and billions and trillions of years. And then verse 2 happened. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Well, I don't believe that. I just want you to know that there is such a thing as a gap theory, and there's at least three problems with it. Number one, it's unscientific.
Right.
It attempts to reconcile creation with the long periods of time necessary for the theory
right.
of evolution.
Right.
Theory. Number two, it's unscriptural. Adam would have to walk on top of animal fossils, but the fall brought death to animals and people. Animals hadn't died before Adam and Eve ate the fruit. They lived at the same time. And number three, it's unnecessary. The most natural reading of the verses is, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I'd have to read that a million years before I thought, oh, there's a gap there. That's not natural. That's not the way it was. And if there was a gap there, I think God would have told us. Moses was familiar with this phrase, and he uses it over in chapter 4, verse 3. In the process of time, it came to pass. If there was a gap there, I think the Lord would have told Moses to put in there, in the process of time, it came to pass. In chapter 38, Moses does it. Chapter 38, verse 12. In the process of time. It happens again in the Bible, in Judges and in Chronicles, but it's not there. There is no gap.
Right.
Okay, another point is, Evolution's impossible because it breaks the first and second laws of thermodynamics, which are basic to science. Law number one is matter can neither be created nor destroyed. Something cannot come from nothing. There wasn't a big bang and all of a sudden here we are. That's like the chances of 1 in 33 million we read just recently. That's the same chances that tornado came through a junkyard, and when it passed through, then there sits a 747 jet idling and all the lights on flashing, fueled up, ready to go. It's about the same percent. That didn't happen. You don't make something out of nothing. I was made to take chemistry. I know you don't believe that, but I was. And I learned one thing, those equations have to balance. Matter cannot be created nor destroyed. You got H2O, you got two atoms on one side, and one oxygen, and that equals one H2O. It's got to be. It happens every time. Matter can neither be created nor destroyed. There wasn't a big bang. That's not how it happened. Number two, an object set in motion tends to stay in motion unless the outside force is applied. If there was a big bang, it would still be gone. The pieces would still be gone. A car going down the road would go forever if it wasn't for gravity. It's the outside force. Or if you apply the brakes or cut the steering wheel or step on the gas, you ladies. Maybe step on the gas. It might go a little faster. The genius creator did just that. He created the universe and put all that in motion, set it in motion, and he's still holding it together. He's still controlling it. He's still making it turn just like it's supposed to. An explosion would just have continued. And actually, see, really we're devolving. We're not evolving. Evolution says we're getting better. We came from an amoeba up to a monkey, up to man. No, we're devolving. We're worse than our fathers were.
Right.
We're going downhill.
Right. Yes,
we're going downhill. Another point is, like we saw Darwin's finches up here that adapted to the environment. See, you might go down to Florida and spend all summer and come back and be real dark and your hair bleached out, but your children won't inherit that.
Right.
We adapt, but there is no evolution.
Right.
There is no evolution. Genesis 1:1 refutes seven common false philosophies or religions, maybe. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That refutes agnosticism. An agnostic is not like an atheist. An atheist says there's no God. An agnostic says there might be a God, there might not be. You can't know, and I can't know. Well, verse 1 says there is one. There is a God. And as far as the atheism goes, it refutes that also. There's one God.
Yeah.
And then it refutes polytheism, which poly means many. Some believe in many gods. And verse 1 refutes that. There is but one.
Yes. Amen.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Capital G God, by the way. It refutes evolution. He created all things.
Right.
That same verse refutes pantheism. That's those that worship nature. God is apart from his nature. He made it. He made the white-tailed deer. He made the rattlesnakes.
Right.
He made it all. But he is apart from his creation. We worship him, not the creation. Right. It's great to get out and enjoy his creation. I love it. But we don't worship creation.
Amen.
We worship the God that made it. It refutes materialism. There is a beginning to creation, and God started. Material things are not it. It refutes fatalism. Brother Gene always says since he retires, he doesn't have any purpose, but he does. He does more falling out of bed than I do all day. Fatalism. No, there is a purpose to creation. There is a purpose. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Then, God's job today, what He does, what He did, is He divides. That's what God does. Verse 4, let's look at that. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Verse 7, and God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Verse 14, and God said, let the lights in the firmament of the heaven, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day and the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Verse 18, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. That's God. That's God's job. That's what He does. He divides. Now, if you try that, it'll make you nervous. I don't recommend it. I don't recommend it. God's still dividing today. Luke 12. It's a natural thing. Luke 12:51. Suppose ye that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. I can't explain it. I'm just telling you that's how it happens. Now, creation's creatures, me and you, our job is to multiply. Let's go back to chapter 1, verse 22. We see the creatures multiply. And God blessed him, saying, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And then we see us down in verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That's our job, is to multiply. If we try to divide, we're going to mess everything up. God told man to scatter. And what he wanted to do was gather. Chapter 8, verse 17. Bring forth from thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both fowl and cattle and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. God's plan was that man would spread out, that they would scatter. Chapter 9, verse 1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. He wanted them to scatter. Verse 7, and you be fruitful, multiply, and bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. But man wanted to gather. And man gathered together in chapter 11, verse 4, and they said, let us go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. Man is a rebel. Every man, woman, boy, girl, child is in a state of rebellion against God. We don't even want to scatter or multiply, like God said. Even back then, we didn't want to. It's just a fact. It's a scientific fact. Now, maybe you've been broke. Maybe like a horse. Maybe you don't rebel anymore. I don't know. I hope so. 1925, before there was television, was the Scopes Monkey Trial. It took place in Dalton, Tennessee. And there, William Jennings Bryan, our hero. This story's been told three or four ways. I'm going to tell it the way I know it. But anyway, he debated there with either Clarence Darrow, the lawyer, or maybe Ingersoll, the famous atheist. But when they got ready for the debate, William Jennings Bryan got to ask the first question. They drew straws, and he asked Darrow or Ingersoll, whoever it was there, he said, "Okay, how far back can you go?" And they said, 24,000 years. He said, "Well, we got you beat before you start." And they said, "How far back can you go?" He said, "To the beginning."
Yeah.
He said, "Okay, Mr. Atheist." He said, "When you went back there 24,000 years, what did you find?" He said, "We found a one-cell amoeba." He said, "We got you beat again." He said, "What did you find?" He said, "We found God."
Yeah.
God. You can believe it. You can take it to the bank.
That's right.
Harold Forskew is a brand new newspaper reporter. His boss, the editor, sent him out to cover a social event, and he came back with 24 pages. He said, "Cut it in half." He cut it in half, brought it back. He said, "Cut it in half again." He cut it in half. He said, "Now make one page out of it." And he started to argue with him. He said, "Son," he said, "evidently you forgot that when the creator of the universe got ready to give his account of creating everything, he did it in 10 words. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And he couldn't have been more specific. God meant what he said, and he said what he meant.
Yes, amen.
Science only tells how things go on. Science has nothing to do with how it began. We can watch a pendulum swing back and forth and create a formula, and you can predict where the pendulum will be at a certain time. But after a while, the formula doesn't work, and it looks like the pendulum's going two ways at the same time. But it has nothing to do with how the pendulum got here or how it started. It's just like this disc. I know some of you know, but does anyone know how it got here? Do you know who made it? Do you know if they screwed it or glued it? Do you know if it was made right here or carried in? Was it a man or a woman that made it? What year was it made? See, science doesn't have anything to do with that. Science just shows what it is right now, the laws that's going on right now. But we would rather believe man than God. We'd rather believe Darwin. God's word is legislative and executive. When he says it, and he makes a law, but then he executes it. And he makes it come to pass. It's judicial too, if you want. He said, "Let there be light." And there was light. General Electric didn't do it. God did it. He was in the boat, and they woke him up. They said, "We're going to perish. You don't know what's going on out here." He got up, and he said, "Peace be still." And the wind stopped, and the waves quit. His law. He said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he come forth. If he hadn't said Lazarus, the whole graveyard would empty out. It's his word. He spake it into existence. He spake it. He raised the continents. He raised the clouds. There's 50 chapters about the tabernacle and 5 words about the stars. And again, that shows what God emphasizes. It's a lot different than what we do. You can train animals, but you can't educate them. Well, everything except blue. Oh, blue. Blue might be the smartest dog in the world. No, a horse doesn't walk out there and say, "Wow, look at that sunset." Animals can't be educated, can't learn to read or write. Blue might. He's really not that smart. I can beat him at checkers. Most of the time. But man stands alone on top of God's creation. And man, God breathed into man and he became a living soul. God crowned Adam on top of all his creation. And he put something inside us that made us different than creation.
Right.
The human body is made up, it consists of 58 pounds of oxygen, 50 quarts of water, 2 ounces of salt, 3 pounds of calcium, 24 pounds of carbon, some chlorine, phosphorus, fat, iron, sulfur, glycerin. That's what you'll need if you stop on the way home, get your do-it-yourself kit to make a human body. That's what you're going to need. Dr. Mayo of the Mayo Clinic, he put it this way. He said you'd need enough potassium for one shot in a toy pistol. Remember the cap pistols? He said you need that much potassium. Enough fat for 7 bars of soap. Enough iron for a nail. Enough sulfur to delouse a dog. Enough whitewash to whitewash a chicken coop. Enough magnesium for 1 dose of medicine. Enough phosphorus for a few boxes of matches. And you add it all up and we're worth about $1.50.
Yeah. Yeah.
On your handout there on chapter 1, I love the way that's put down there. The first 5 verses, God made heaven, water, and light. And light's a picture of salvation. And then verses 6 through 8, he did some separating there, some dividing. And we're supposed to be separated. We're not supposed to look like the world, act like the world. It's supposed to be a change when you get saved. You're supposed to come out from among them. Verses 9 through 13 was the plant life. And that just kind of matches up with the fruit. Fruit's unconscious. And I need some fruit in my life. 14 through 19 is sun, moon, and stars. Let the light shine. You remember when you saw the light? Picture of our testimony. Verse 20 and 23, the fish and the fowl. Picture of victory and freedom. Then verse 24 to 31, conscious life. Man and cattle. That's a picture of service. And then God rested in chapter 2. Now, we'll see this outline a lot, the one for the book of Genesis. But the way it works out there, the truth is, us Bible believers, we believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of the Bible.
Yeah.
Verbal means every word. I watched a video there last night. Brother Tim's been telling me about this fella. I forget his name right now, Chuck something or other, and he pointed out that actually it's every letter, it's important. So very important whether it's plural or singular. Every letter. We believe in the verbal inspiration, but not only that, it's every letter. We have an every word Bible, but that's not all. Every letter is perfect. And then plenary, verbal plenary inspiration. Plenary means all. Or each. And that's the first main point on your outline here, Roman numeral 1. The first 11 chapters in Genesis are about plenary. And we'll look at that in a minute. Verbal, every word. Plenary, all words, each word. And then inspiration, God breathed it.
Right.
He says that over in Timothy, God breathed. Theonoustos, God breathed. Like, where us fellas get our pneumatic tools from, the air gun. It's like God breathed. The verbal plenary inspiration of the Bible. Let's look at that in John 6:63. We've got it through and through. I think we've got time to look at this for a little bit. John 6:63. It's the spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life.
Right.
You want to get filled up with the spirit? Go ahead and get filled up with this.
Amen.
Pick you out a memory verse. Just pick you out one of them.
Yeah.
Let's try Psalm 33:6. Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord, the big Lord, the capital Lord, were the heavens made and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. God just breathed it. Pneuma. Genesis 2:7. Why you're here today. Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. God breathed. Job 27:3. All the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. That's why you're alive today. 32:8. If it wasn't for God, had it not been for the Lord.
Right.
32:8. But there's a Spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Then 33:4. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. That's why me and you are here.
Right.
The plenary. Plenary. Plenary of all things. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, you have the creation of all things. We've been reading it, going over and over. Chapter 1 anyhow. Verse 2 finishes it up, telling how He did it. 56 verses. Took God 56 verses to create everything you can see and many things you can't see. Chapter 3 through 5 is the corruption of all things. It only took man 6 verses to corrupt, to mess up what God made. Chapter 6 through 9, we're going to see the condemnation of all things. Because man corrupted it, God had to condemn it.
Right.
And we're going to see about that. And then verse chapter 10 and 11, we see the confusion of all things. When man fell, it was a big fall. By the way, we were in that fall, me and you.
Yeah.
We were in that fall. And when man fell, he got confused. And he's been confused ever since.
That's right.
That's right, Caleb.
Think about that.
The Roman numeral 2 is the patriarchs. We'll get to those a little bit later. Chapter 12, Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. And Jacob begat Joseph, our hero.
Yeah.
Our Savior. The son, the servant. The slander, the seer, the statesman, the stranger. The shepherd, the superior, the saint. But mainly our Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for writing it down. In Jesus' name, amen.